Lesson 3. John, the Gospel of Belief. Lesson Objectives. By the end of this lesson, the student should, number 1, know the author, date, and historical setting of the Gospel of John. Number 2, contrast the Gospel of John with the Synoptic Gospels. Number 3, recognize the theme and purpose of the Gospel of John. Number 4, appreciate the importance of both Jesus' humanity and his deity. Number 5, relate the message of the Gospel of John to the needs of today's world. Number 6, apply the content of this lesson in a ministry setting. Introduction. Christians are called believers. What does it mean to believe? How will true belief affect our lives? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. John 3:16-18. These are some of the most familiar words of Scripture. They promise that whoever believes in Jesus will have eternal life. These are also some of the most frequently misused words of Scripture. The concept of belief is often misinterpreted to mean mental acknowledgement without life change. The Gospel of John shows that belief is much more than mental assent. The words, "I believe," spoken from the heart, will change your life. True belief changes a person's will and behavior. Background to John. Author, date, and place. John, the son of Zebedee, was the author of the fourth gospel. Ignatius of Antioch, Justin Martyr, Polycarp, and Irenaeus all testified to John's authorship. Polycarp's testimony is of particular importance because he was a disciple of John. John, along with his brother James and Simon Peter, was one of Jesus' closest disciples. These were the only disciples in the room when Jesus raised the dead girl to life, Mark 5:37-43. They were alone with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration and in Gethsemane, Matthew 17:1-9, and Mark 14:32-36. John was an influential leader in the church. Only Paul wrote more New Testament books than John. John wrote the Gospel of John, three epistles, and Revelation. According to tradition, John lived in Ephesus. During the reign of Domitian, John was exiled to Patmos, where he wrote the book of Revelation. He then returned to Ephesus and died there at nearly 100 years of age. The Gospel of John was probably written from Ephesus. It is usually dated to AD 85-95, making it the last of the Gospels. Purpose. The Gospel of John is markedly different from the Synoptic Gospels. John contains no stories of Jesus casting out demons. It has no parables. And unlike Mark, there is no messianic secret. While many authors have noted the differences between John and the Synoptic Gospels, it is important to also see the similarities. John presents a different perspective of Jesus' life, but his message is the same as the other evangelists. John shows that Jesus is the Son of God who lived among us, was crucified for our sins, and rose from the dead on the third day. There were two early heresies related to Jesus. One denied his full humanity, claiming that Jesus only appeared to be a man. Luke spoke to this error with his descriptions of Jesus as fully human. The other heresy denied Jesus' deity, claiming that he was a great teacher but not the Son of God. John pays special attention to the deity of Jesus through a series of miracles that reveal him as the Son of God and through statements that show him to be the Word made flesh. John said he wrote for these reasons, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. John 20:31. Content of John. Prologue, John 1:1-18. Presenting Jesus the King to a Jewish audience, Matthew traced Jesus' genealogy through David back to Abraham. Presenting Jesus the servant to a Roman audience, Mark included no genealogy. Presenting Jesus the Son of Man to a Greek audience, Luke traced Jesus' genealogy back to Adam, the first man. Presenting Jesus the Son of God, John begins with what one could call a divine genealogy. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. John 1:1-3. John's Gospel begins with the dramatic claim that Jesus was the eternal Word of God. John writes, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." John 1:14. The rest of the Gospel presents evidence to support this claim. The Book of Signs, John 1-12. 7 of Jesus' Miracles. In the first half of the Gospel, John records 7 signs, 7 of Jesus' miracles that show His divine power. Turning the water into wine at Cana, John 2:1-11. Healing an official's son in Capernaum, John 4:46-54. Healing the invalid at Bethesda, John 5:1-18. Feeding the 5,000, John 6:5-14. Note, this is the only miracle reported in all 4 Gospels, Matthew 14:13-21, Mark 6:30-44, Luke 9:10-17. Matthew records that there were about 5,000 men, as well as women and children. Walking on the water, John 6:16-21. Healing a man born blind, John 9:1-7. Raising Lazarus from the dead, John 11:1-45. Each miracle showed Jesus as the Son of God. John uses the term signs to describe Jesus' miracles because they were evidence of His deity. When Jesus turned water into wine at a wedding, He revealed Himself to His disciples. This, the first of His signs Jesus did at Cana in Galilee, and manifested His glory, and His disciples believed in Him. John 2:11. Jesus' final miracle, the raising of Lazarus, is recorded only in John and is the climax of the first half of the Gospel. This miracle led directly to the final confrontation between Jesus and the religious leaders. Because many Jews were turning to Jesus as a result of this undeniable miracle, the leaders wanted to kill both Jesus and Lazarus, John 11:45-53, and John 12:9-11. 7 statements by Jesus that testify to His deity. In addition to the 7 miracles, John records a series of 7 statements by Jesus that testified to His deity. While Mark mentions occasions when Jesus forbade the disciples to testify that He was the Messiah, John records occasions when Jesus revealed His nature to others. Testimonies recorded in John include Jesus' testimony to Nicodemus, John 3:1-21. Jesus' testimony to the Samaritan woman, John 4:1-42. See especially John 4:25-26. Jesus' testimony after healing the man at Bethesda, John 5:17-18. Jesus' testimony after feeding the 5,000, John 6:24-59. Jesus' testimony at the Feast of Tabernacles, John 7:14-44. Jesus' testimony that before Abraham was, I am, John 8:52-59. Jesus' testimony at the Feast of Dedication, John 10:22-38. Skeptics have argued that Jesus did not claim to be divine. John shows that Jesus repeatedly testified to His own deity. Jesus' audience knew very well what He meant when He said, "Before Abraham was, I am," John 8:58. These are the words God used to reveal Himself to Moses. I am who I am, Exodus 3:14. Those who heard Jesus knew what he meant. They tried to stone him, the punishment for blasphemy. John 8:59. The Jewish leaders did not seek to kill Jesus because he was a great teacher and healer. They sought to kill him because he claimed to be divine. People may reject Jesus' claims to deity, but it is foolish to deny that he made the claim. The Book of Glory, John 13-20. In Jesus we see glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:14. During the last week of Jesus' earthly ministry, his glory was revealed in a much different manner than the disciples expected. The disciples thought of Jesus' glory in terms of military victory, political power, and popular public ministry. Instead, Jesus showed that his glory involved a cross and self-sacrifice. At the Last Supper, Jesus demonstrated the humility with which his followers should serve each other, John 13:1-17. In his final discourses, Jesus taught about the Helper who would be with them forever, John 14:16. Using the metaphor of the vine and branches, he taught about the necessity of continually abiding in him. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, John 15:6. These examples were the opposite of political and military power. Jesus' path was one of self-surrender and humility. In Jesus' high priestly prayer, he prayed for those issues closest to his heart. Facing the cross, Jesus prayed for himself, that he would be glorified through the Father, John 17:1-5, for the disciples, that they would be preserved and sanctified, John 17:6-19, for all believers, that their unity would testify to the world, John 17:20-26. John records Jesus' arrest, trial, crucifixion, and resurrection. Early in the Gospel of John, Jesus told Nicodemus, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." John 3:14-15. Later, Jesus spoke of the manner of his death. "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." John 12:32. On the cross, the Son of Man was lifted up to draw all people to himself so that they would not perish but have eternal life. This was the goal toward which Jesus' entire life was directed. His crucifixion is even called the hour of his glory, John 12:23. This was the glory for which he came into the world. John concludes this section with the testimony of Thomas after the resurrection, "My Lord and my God," John 20:28. The transforming power of Jesus' resurrection is seen in Thomas' later life. He was killed as a martyr while evangelizing in India. Epilogue, John 21. The final chapter of John reports a post-resurrection appearance by Jesus to a group of disciples at the Sea of Galilee, John 21:1. Note, John calls the Sea of Galilee by an alternate name, the Sea of Tiberias. Tiberias was the capital city of Galilee. John concludes his gospel by affirming the truth of his accounts. "This is the disciple who is bearing witness about these things, and who has written these things, and we know that his testimony is true." John 21:24. John in the church today. To new believers, John reveals the divine nature of Jesus. Because of its clear and simple presentation of Jesus, pastors often encourage new believers to read the Gospel of John. In John, we see Jesus as the bread of life, John 6:35, the light of the world, John 8:12, the good shepherd, John 10:11, the resurrection and the life, John 11:25, and the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6. To a skeptical world, John offers a picture of Jesus as the Son of God. The miracles in John speak to those who look for powerful signs to authenticate Jesus' claim to deity. Through the miracles, Jesus demonstrated that his claim to be the I Am was supported by his divine power, John 8:58. To a modern church that preaches a cheap grace without any call to true discipleship, the Gospel of John shows the true meaning of faith. Note, the term cheap grace comes from Dietrich Bonhoeffer, The Cost of Discipleship, translated by R. H. Fuller, New York, Touchstone, 1995, page 89. True faith transforms the life of the believer. After they heard Jesus explain the bread of life, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him, John 6:66. These followers claimed to believe in Jesus. They followed him. They enjoyed the bread and fish, but they did not truly believe. They did not live out their professed faith with continued obedience to Jesus' demands. The Gospel of John teaches the meaning of true faith. Conclusion. The Gospel of John shows that true belief changes the believer's life. It may even cost the believer's life. Dietrich Bonhoeffer contrasted what he called cheap grace with costly grace. He wrote, quote, "When Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die," unquote. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, The Cost of Discipleship, translated into English by R. H. Fuller, New York, Touchstone, 1995, page 89. This type of true faith is seen in the life of the second century martyr Polycarp. Polycarp, John's disciple, had listened to John teach and had heard John's recollections of Jesus' life. At the age of 86, Polycarp was arrested. The officers did not want to execute such a respected old man and offered him the chance to save his life by recanting and by swearing that Caesar is Lord. The magistrate said, "Swear the oath and I will release you." Polycarp's response echoes through the centuries as a witness to the meaning of true belief. Quote, "86 years I have been his servant, and he has done me no wrong. How then can I blaspheme my king who saved me?" Unquote. The Martyrdom of St. Polycarp, in Early Christian Fathers, translated Cyril C. Richardson, Philadelphia, Westminster Press, 1953, available online at ccel.org. Polycarp had learned the lessons taught by his teacher John. He knew that true faith transforms a believer, even to the point of death.